Good morning. I'd like to welcome everyone to Wiggum Baptist Church this morning. If you're visiting with us or anything, if you look in your bulletin, you'll see a tear-off information card. If you'll fill it out, we'd like to have a record of your visit here or any prayer needs or any questions or anything. You can write them on here or use the check boxes and just put them in the offering plate or hand it to one of Brother Tino or one of the deacons, and we'll take care of whatever is on that for you. Got several announcements, so if I miss one, just raise your hand and say you missed one. Reception for Brother John Paul Hassock at Eastside Baptist Church today from 3 to 5. I'm sure he would like to see anyone that can attend there. We'll have conference Wednesday night, I think. You want to announce about the other?
About Saturday night.
About going out Wednesday. Do you want to? He's going to say something about Wednesday night.
One thing I was thinking of Wednesday, just to give everyone an opportunity, and I want y'all to be in agreement with this if you want to, but instead of having a service here Wednesday night, what do y'all think about us meeting here Wednesday evening? But instead of having a service, let us use that time to go out into the community and invite people to come to the meal on Saturday. What do y'all? Everybody good with that? Can we take that opportunity? Because I know a lot of us, we get busy, we intend to do something, and we don't do it. But Wednesday, we'll be in the church because we'll be out in the community, not just here in the church. And so it'll give us an opportunity to take the tickets and go out and invite people to come Saturday to eat with us from 3 to 6. And you know, so just be an opportunity to make contacts outside of the church for Saturday. So, all in favor, I'm just going to throw it for a vote. All in favor, raise your hand. All opposed, raise your hand. All right, we'll do that Wednesday night. We'll meet here at regular time, and or if we want to start at 6:30 instead of 7, and then that way we can go out and spend an hour or so just handing out tickets, inviting people, and then we'll go home from there. But if we can go and make 4 or 5 stops at different houses, and just might make the difference we want to make. So, thank you.
Gonna be 6:30 or 7?
Let's do 6:30, and that way it won't be quite so late.
So we all, if you can, let's meet at 6:30 here on Wednesday night for that. Don't forget, next Saturday is the free community supper from 3 to 5 p.m. There's still a sign-up sheet on the back table for desserts needed. Bring the desserts to the church by noon on December 9th. Also, if you can be here to help, we'll need a lot of help. Be here by 2 p.m. on that Saturday so we can start getting the plates ready and all. And there's a list. Brother Tim has put another list on the back. We were talking about that. If you want to know what's going on the back table, there's plenty of lists, okay? if you'll just keep a tally of how many people you've invited, and also if you've given them tickets, that's fine. But we really just need a total of how many people have been invited. They also are still some tickets on the back for you to hand out. So you can pick them up today if you need that. Tickets on the back table. Take some and give them out. Birthday party for Jesus is Sunday, December 10th. There was a handout in your bulletin about that. Bring your favorite finger foods. We'll be collecting food for the food pantry. We'll be collecting throws, blankets, and men and women's socks for the residents at the nursing home. And we'll also be collecting socks, underwear, and shoes for the Hope Room. We need all sizes for children. And if anyone would like to give a donation and let Sissy and Jan do the shopping for them, does that include, is that just this? Oh, sorry. Well, I'm sorry. I was going to give Sissy and Jan my Christmas list. Just for this, if you'll give Sissy, get with Sissy or Jan Hall, and they'll be glad to pick the items up for you. So that's the birthday party for Jesus. December 17th is after the morning worship service is our Christmas fellowship meal. Please put on your calendars for that. December 24th will be our Christmas Eve candlelight service in the old church at 6 p.m. And then January the 22nd is the Titus II Women's Ministry at 6:30 p.m. Don't forget the week of prayer for international missions. That's also in your bulletin. Any other announcements? I told you. Jan.
I have the angel tree up back there in the back.
And I'm staring right at it. Thank you. The angel tree, this is a yearly thing we do for families to get Christmas gifts and items that they may need for the children. It's in the back. Just take a tag off of it. When do you need them back?
The 17th.
And Jan, we'll need them back here wrapped or unwrapped?
Wrapped or in a bag.
Wrapped or in a bag by December 17th so we can get it to the families and all. So they still have several tags on the back there. So take one if you can. Any other announcements?
Tim, I was confused. Are we having conference Wednesday night?
Well, can we put it to the next Wednesday night? Will that work with everybody? I wasn't even thinking about the conference Wednesday. We talked about it, but I wasn't thinking about it. So if we can move the conference from this coming Wednesday night to the following Wednesday night, will that work for everybody?
Yeah, that'll work good. Call this afternoon. We won't have a deacon's meeting this afternoon because everything's going on, fellas. That'll give us time maybe to meet next week if we need to before conference. Thank you, Paul, so much. Any other announcements? We're getting there, y'all, are we?
Choir practice.
Choir practice at 5:15 today. Going once. Any birthdays?
Pastor Phil.
Oh, he did.
He sold me out.
He sold me out. Thank you. Any other birthdays?
Miss Alice
is it today, but she couldn't be here.
All right. You want to stand up, bro? I'm going to let y'all sit down and just look at him as a point. Happy birthday to you. Happy birthday to you. Happy birthday. God bless you. Happy birthday to you. And many more, brother.
Brother Tim's time today. Let's move to our prayer time. I know this Donna McManuel is still in the hospital as of this morning, so continue to remember her and Larry. Remember Amy's father. He's having some issues. Just got out of the hospital by Friday, I believe, from talking with Amy. Remember the Ruby Mills family, Dana Smith, that's her mother, Dana who cleans the church, that's her mother-in-law, passed away this week. Any others, y'all?
Kim's having surgery tomorrow, so we're waiting for her prayers.
Who?
Kim McBroom.
Oh, Kim, okay. Kim McBroom is having surgery tomorrow. So remember her and Matthew. Remember Matthew. Any others, y'all? Remember Paul?
We had another one of the residents pass away. Just remember that situation.
Had one of the residents at the nursing home pass away. Any others? Let's go to the Lord in prayer. Dear Heavenly Father, we are just so thankful for this day. Lord, we thankful for the upcoming events that the church here has planned, Lord, and all these activities and all, Lord. But let us not forget, Lord, that all these things that we've announced and all, Lord, we are doing to bring glory and honor to you and to celebrate the birth of our Lord Jesus Christ, Lord. We're not doing it to bring attention to ourselves or this church, Lord. We just want to follow your commandments, Lord, to share the gospel, Lord, and to help in this community when we can, Lord. Lord, we do just want to pray for the ones that are in the hospital, Lord, especially Donna this morning, Lord. We just pray that you'll be with her and continue to heal her body, Lord. For Amy's dad, Lord, we just pray for him and the rest of the family, Lord, that he will be able to get stronger and better, Lord. For the Ruby Mills family, Lord, we pray for that family and the loss of her and their loved one, Lord. And we also lift Kim and Matthew up to you today, Lord, as Kim goes in for surgery tomorrow, Lord. Just be with the doctors and everyone there, Lord. But, Lord, we also just want to lift Brother Tim up to you today, Lord, as he'll come in a few minutes, Lord, and just proclaim your word today, Lord, as we discussed in Sunday school, Lord. I pray, Lord, that we have set aside this time, Lord, to follow your instructions, to follow your commandment, to make this a holy day, Lord, and make it holy because we worship our Lord Jesus Christ. We pray these things in Christ's name. Amen. And I believe we have a mission video.
We hear it in the voices of the hurting. We sense it in the brokenness of the world around us. Lostness is a blindness to the promise and hope of the gospel that leads to eternal separation from the Father. The world's greatest problem is lostness, and it's growing every day. 8 billion people living in 195 countries, speaking over 7,000 languages. Today, more than half have yet to hear the good news of the gospel. The vision God gives us in Revelation 7:9. A multitude from every nation, all tribes, peoples, and languages, fuels our desire to take the gospel to the ends of the earth. But we must be willing to go further than we've ever gone before. To the very edges of lostness, where more than 3,000 people groups have no missionary presence and likely no access to the gospel. No one is engaging them. Together, we can change that. We know the love and hope and peace of the gospel. We know the way, the truth, and the life. We know the power of true redemption. We will not ignore lostness. We will not be silent. We will not stand still. From the Great Commission until the Great Multitude, we must unite in this great pursuit to reach every nation, no matter the cause.
So true. Well, it's hard to believe it's this time of year again. When we celebrate our Savior's birth, I love this time of year. Love these Christmas hymns. And so we're going to start out this morning with our call to worship with hymn number 89. If you're looking in the hymnal, it'll be, "O Come All You Faithful." If you'll please stand, if you can, as we sing Christmas hymns this morning.
Come and be born.
child is this? 118.
Thank you.
just come at this time of the service, Lord, to honor you with our gifts and offerings and tithes. And we pray, Lord, that it'll be accepted in the way it's given, Lord, and just humbly we beg that it be used to glorify your kingdom. In Christ's name, amen.
Sing hymn 95, and we're going to keep singing it. We want everyone to come up and get a decoration off of the front seat and help everybody help us decorate the tree for Christmas. So as we sing, Go Tell It on the Mountain, everybody please come, get a decoration, and let's just keep it going until we get the whole tree decorated. Fair enough.
Thank you.
sure if Jackson was going to be here today or not, so we went ahead and put the angel on top. Yeah, I mean, he could have done it but we took care of that. Well, Tim.
I invite you to turn with me to Isaiah chapter 9. Go look at several different passages, and I know you probably think, well, that's not unusual. My title of my message this morning, and at the time I was preparing this several weeks ago, thinking leading up to the month of December, I didn't realize that our Sunday school material would talk about, I knew it was in Genesis, but I wasn't sure what all it was going to cover. But as you know, if you were in Sunday school this morning, our topic was creation. My thought was this, as you enter this time of year and you're walking around, looking, driving around, especially late in the evening and at night time, if you have a Christmas tree, hardly anybody has a Christmas tree that doesn't have what on it? Lights. And as I thought about it, we just put ornaments on it, right? I know that as we tend to decorate, we light lights to be on. But as I thought about it, I thought about what does light have to do with Christmas? What does it have to do with Christmas? And so as I thought about that, I thought about, you know, the question, how many of us like Christmas lights? I'll learn. How many of you watch on ABC between Thanksgiving and Christmas, they have the great Christmas light fight? Have you ever watched it where they do these houses and mansions and just acres and acres of lights? And it always impresses me about how many hundreds and thousands, if not millions, of lights that people string up. Some of them are the old-fashioned kind. Some of them are the LEDs with strobe and, you know, all the different things they can do nowadays. But it just always seems to amaze me the time and effort and energy and money that these people tie up in Christmas lights. And so the question comes back to you again, what do lights have to do with Christmas? As our kids were growing up, we tried to at least once a year during the Christmas season to go drive around somewhere that had a lot of lights and just to see how amazing those light sets would be. Well, as we looked this morning, we saw in Genesis in Sunday school that one of the first things God created was what? Light. With light. And so you say, well, what do lights have to do with Christmas? Well, from Genesis through Revelation, it talks about light. And so that's what we're going to look at today. And as we celebrate this season of Christmas and Jesus coming to earth to be our light, I want us to look at this in Isaiah chapter 9, verse 2. Listen to hear what Isaiah the prophet says. He says, "The people who walked in darkness have seen a great," what does the word say? "A great light. Those who dwelt in the land of the shadow of death, upon them a light has shined." Isaiah wrote these words over 700, somewhere between 700 and 800 years before Christ was born. You say, well, how do you know this is talking about Jesus? Well, I'm glad you asked. I want you to take your Bible and turn to Matthew chapter 4 for just a moment, because we're going to come back to Isaiah chapter 9 in just a minute. But in Matthew chapter 4 and verse 16, I want you to see what Matthew writes about this man we call Jesus, this baby we call our Lord and Savior. Here in Matthew chapter 4 and verse 16, well, we can actually back up to verses 14 and read down through 16. But it says, that it might be fulfilled which was spoken by Isaiah the prophet, saying, the land of Zebulun and the land of Naphtali, by the way of the sea beyond the Jordan, Galilee of the Gentiles. Look at verse 16 with me. The people who sat in darkness have seen a great light. Upon those who sat in the region and the shadow of death, light has dawned. Matthew is quoting Isaiah, and Matthew is speaking about that John the Baptist had just been preaching the Christ, the Messiah had come, and that John had been arrested, and this new person on the scene is Jesus Christ. He is the one who has come. He is the light that has dawned in the darkness. From the beginning, listen to me, from the beginning, there has always been a need for light. Amen. Our Sunday school lesson taught about it. The first thing when God created was he was the light, right? Now, we got to understand this now because sometimes we get this confused. Sometimes we think when God created the light in Genesis, in the first few verses there, Genesis chapter 1, we tend to think that God created the sun, moon, and stars in the first few verses. Isn't that what we normally think? But can I tell you, that's not true. When you look at the first few verses, verses 1 through 5, you realize that God himself was the light. He was the light. There has always been a need for physical light. You don't find God creating the sun, moon, and stars until the fourth day. There's always been a need for physical light. God knew that. He knew that you and I needed light. When God created the light, he saw that it was good. And on the fourth day, he created the sun, moon, and stars, and the galaxies, the universes, and everything in them. And God saw it, and he said it was what? It was good. But then by the time you get to Genesis chapter 3, we're not going to go read it. We just don't have time today. Genesis chapter 3, we know that old slick Satan comes along and he twists God's word, right? And he tempts Eve to take of the forbidden fruit. And she takes a bite of it and also gives it to Adam, and he takes a bite of it. And because they disobeyed God, what happened? Darkness entered the world. Hear me out on this. There had already been light because God was light. There had already been darkness because God separated in the first few verses. He separated the light from the darkness. The light was good and the darkness was good at that time. But in Genesis chapter 3, when Adam and Eve ate of the fruit, the forbidden fruit, it caused sin to enter into the human race, therefore plunging all of humanity into spiritual darkness. Spiritual darkness. We're not guilty because of Adam and Eve's sin. We are guilty because we all choose to sin. Romans 3:23 tells us, for all have sinned and fallen short of the glory of God. And Romans 6:23, it tells us that the wages of sin is death. That death is not just talking about everybody dies, amen? Everybody's going to die. What it is talking about, the wages of sin, is eternal separation from God. And when you read the Gospels and understand what the Gospel writers is writing and what Jesus is saying, that those who will be cast away from Him are going to be cast out into what? Utter darkness. C.S. Lewis said, hell is this. Hell is spending all of eternity in pure pitch black darkness all by yourself. The least that will be punished, that will be punished for, you can say the best person on earth, if they don't have Christ, they're still going to go to hell. And without Jesus, they're going to hell, they're going to be in hell. And that the very best person, the best they can expect, is to be in outer darkness where there's weeping and gnashing of teeth. For all of eternity. Never ends. You're all by yourself. Could you imagine that? But see, we realize that God is a God of action. He is a God of action. And God knew from the beginning that we didn't just need physical light, we also needed spiritual light. Amen? And God chose before the foundation of the world, before He ever created anything, before He ever thought about you, before he ever had an opinion, or before we ever had an opinion of anything, God already had a plan, and His plan was to send His Son, Jesus Christ, to be the spiritual out for the world. Amen. Aren't you glad? Because that's what we celebrate in Christmas. We celebrate that God is sending His Son so that we can see spiritually. Because what is sight anyhow? Sight is the ability, or light is the ability, and it is something that stimulates the eye so that we can see. A physical light stimulates our eyes so that we can see physically, but we needed something to come along and show us that we needed to be able to see spiritually as well. And we needed Jesus. We all need Him. When we look at this, we realize in Isaiah chapter 9, verse 2, it tells us the people who walked in darkness have seen a great light. Those who dwelt in the land of the shadow of death, upon them a light has shined. Here again, God has sent His Son Jesus to be our light. And Isaiah, I want you to look at this with me. Isaiah chapter 9, verses 6 and 7. Listen to what it says. For unto us a child is born, unto us a son is given, and the government will be upon His shoulder, and His name will be called what? Wonderful Counselor, Mighty God, Everlasting Father, Prince of Peace, of the increase of His government and peace there will be no end. Upon the throne of David and over His kingdom, to order it and establish it with judgment and justice from that time forever, or that time forward, even forever, the zeal of the Lord of hosts will perform this. You see, this is a reference to Jesus and to His kingdom that is set up here on earth. As we look at this, we realize that Jesus was that spiritual light we needed. You know, the Bible tells us that Jesus is the light now. In John, y'all hang on, because we're fitting to fly through the book of John real quick. John chapter 1, verses 1 through 9. I want you to look at this. In the beginning was the Word, and the Word was what? Did Jesus only exist when He was born in a manger? No, He was there at creation, right? He'd been there all along. In the beginning was the Word. The Word is Jesus. And the Word, Jesus was with God, and Jesus was God. He was in the beginning with God. All things were made through Him, and without Him nothing was made that was made. In Him was life. Listen closely now. In Him was life, and the life was the what?
Light.
The light of men. And the light shines where? in the darkness, and the darkness did not comprehend it. There was a man sent from God whose name was John. This man came for a witness to testify about who Jesus was, to witness of the light that all, is there anybody too bad to be saved? Is there anybody too good to be saved? No. That all through him might what? Believe. He was not that light. John was not the light. He's a witness to the light. He was not the light, but was sent to bear witness of that light. That was the true light, which gives light to every man coming into the world. You see, Jesus is the light. In John chapter 8, verse 12, it says, then Jesus spoke to them again, saying, I am the light of what? The world. He who follows me shall not walk in darkness, but have a light of life. In John chapter 9, verse 5, it says, Jesus says, as long as I am in the world, I am the what? I am the light of the world. We get the picture yet? John chapter 12, verses 35 and 36. Says that Jesus said to them, a little while longer, the light is with you. He's the light, remember? Jesus says, walk while you have a light, lest darkness overtake you. He walks in darkness, does not know where he is going. While you have a light, believe in the light that you may become sons of what? Of light. These things Jesus spoke and departed and was hidden from them. Look at verse 46 of that same passage, John chapter 12. Jesus says, I have come as a what? Light. As a light into the world, that whoever believes in me should not abide in darkness. You see, Jesus is the light. You know, as I think back through the Old Testament, and you think of creation, and you think that God created everything good, and then you think of Adam and Eve, and you know, we're really hard on Adam and Eve, but if they had ate the fruit, then you would have. You ever thought about that? If Adam and Eve hadn't ate of the fruit, you and I would have. Because we're sinners. We would choose to sin. We've chosen to sin time and time again against God. But from that very moment of sin entering into the world, darkness entering into the world, you know, we've always heard that cliche, there's a light at the end of the what? For 4,500 years, and yes, I'm a young earth creationist, I believe the earth's only about 6,500 years old. You can call me old-fashioned or idiot, I don't care. Oh, that's about the time frame my Bible tells me. For about 6,500 years, the earth has been in existence. For 4,500 years before Christ came, mankind was looking down the tunnel. They needed a light. And you know what? Jesus is the light at the end of the tunnel. He is the light at the end of the tunnel. It doesn't matter how dark this world seems to be, Jesus is still the light at the end of the tunnel. It doesn't matter how bad your day is or what you're going through, and it may seem dark and dreary, but can I tell you, Jesus is still the light at the end of the tunnel. We need to keep looking towards him. But not only did we need physical light, we need a spiritual light. Jesus came to be the light. But do you know that Jesus will be the light for all of eternity? I said we were going to go from Genesis through Revelation. Here we go. Revelation chapter 21, verse 23. This John's vision, he's looking in heaven, and this is what's being revealed to him. It says the city, meaning the heavenly city of Jerusalem, had no need of the sun or the moon to shine in it, for the glory of God did what? It lit it up. Amen. That's the Shekinah. We talked about that Sunday. That's the Shekinah glory that God was showing in the first few verses in Genesis chapter 1, verses 1 through 4 through 5. That's what lit up the world. And that's what's going to light up heaven. Amen? For all of eternity, for those who believe in Jesus Christ. In Revelation 22, verse 5, it says, there shall be no light there. They need no lamp, no light of the sun, for the Lord God gives them what? He gives them light. John chapter 12, we mentioned this earlier. John chapter 12, verse 36, it says, while you have the light, believe in the light that you may become sons of the light. The question, my first question this morning is, do we have the light of Jesus in us? Have we trusted in him? Have we believed in him so that we can be sons of light? Have we accepted what God has done for us? Because we all need the light. Amen? We all need it physically, spiritually. We need the light. We need the light of Christ. Can I tell you this, though? Because sometimes we preach the good about heaven. But can I tell you, the opposite is true for hell. And I know I mentioned this earlier. For everyone who rejects Jesus Christ, they will be cast out into utter darkness for all of eternity. There will be no light there. You see, we have to ask ourselves a question. Do I have the light of Christ shining in me? Do I have his light in me so that I know how to walk and how to go and where to go and where not to go? Do others see that light of Christ in me and through me? Because if any other time of the year, Christians should light up the world around Christmas time. Amen? Ephesians chapter 5, verse 8, Paul said this. He says, walk in the light. Walk in the light. What light is he talking about? He's talking about walking in the light of Christ. Walk in the spiritual light. Walk so that everyone can see you. Because the reality of it is, you and I are supposed to shine the light of Jesus. Amen? You and I are supposed to shine the light of Jesus. Matthew chapter 5, verses 14 and 15. You are the light of the world. A city that is set on a hill cannot be hidden. Nor do they light a lamp and put it under a basket, but on a lampstand, and it gives light to where? How many? All who are in the house. You see, Jesus was the light that came. Jesus is the light of heaven. Jesus is the light of eternity. But while he is there and you and I are still here on earth, he's called us to be light. Amen? He's called you and I to be the light of the world. But here's the thing. We got to be careful, though. Because the reality of it is that sometimes we want to shine our own light. Oh, y'all don't have that problem, right? Let's think about it this way. We have two celestial bodies right here around Earth. I say two. I know there's eight or nine, depending on how many, which scientists you want to listen to, whether we have eight planets or nine planets, right? Anyhow, exoplanets. We have the sun, right? Let's just start with the sun. We have the sun and we have Earth. What orbits around Earth? The moon. Now, when you look up this past week at nighttime, what did you see? You saw the moon, right? Because it was nighttime. Sun wasn't shining. I hear anyhow. What was the moon? We look at it's lit up, right? But does it shine its own light? No. What does it shine? What does it reflect? It reflects the light of the sun. You and I, as believers, we're not called to shine our own light. We're supposed to be reflecting the light of our Lord and Savior. We're not supposed to reflect the shining sun. We're supposed to be shining and reflecting the light of Jesus Christ himself. You and I are to be the light of the world. So the question comes once again, are we allowing the light of Christ to shine in us and through us. As believers, we are to reflect Jesus Christ. But as we reflect Jesus Christ, we are also supposed to walk in the light. And you know, that's not only just a New Testament concept, that is an Old Testament concept as well. When you look at Psalm 105, or 119 verse 105, but listen to what the psalmist wrote. He says, your word is a what? A lamp to my feet and a light to my path. When you and I are walking in this world, number one, it's the word of God that lights our path. Amen. It's the word of God that shows us the good from the bad. It's the word of God that helps us make wise decisions or dumb decisions. It's the word of God that helps us to stay on the path. You know, my prayer this Christmas season is that you and I wouldn't just walk in the light during Christmas time, but that you and I would walk in the light of God's word and his truth every day of the year. Amen. That you and I would be the light of Christ, that especially during this time of year, but every day of the year, that somehow, some way, we would see and lead others to realize that they need the light of Christ living in them too. Because without it, they're in darkness right now. They're going to be in darkness for all of eternity. Who wants to be in the dark? I don't. You don't. My question to you this morning as we close is simply this. Are you in the light? Is the light in you? Are you in the light? Are you in Christ, and is he in you? Because my Bible tells me, abide in Christ and he'll abide in me. Are we abiding in him? Are we allowing his light to shine in our lives? Are we walking in the light? Are we being the light to the lost world around us? You know, we all have a choice this morning. We need to choose. Are we going to trust in the light of Christ? Are we going to let him be the light of our lives? Are we going to trust him and follow him and follow his way for our lives? And then are we going to walk in the light? Some of us, we say we're in the light, but we're walking in darkness. We're doing things we know the Lord doesn't want us to do. It goes against his word. It goes against his ways. And you know, maybe today we just need to come get right with God. Whatever decision you need to make today, I pray that you'll do it. Will you stand with me? Heavenly Father, as we go into this time of invitation, Lord, I pray, Lord, that you be the light of all of us. Lord, that we would all put our faith and trust in you. Lord, it's not hard, it's not difficult. Lord, it's by faith that we trust you, that you are the light that we need for our lives, physically and spiritually. And Lord, without you, we are in darkness. And you are the only way out. You are the only way that has been provided for us to have life and to be light. Lord, I pray this morning for those who may have never trusted you, that today would be the day. Lord, they would simply just ask you into their hearts to forgive them of their sins, Lord, believing that you are God's Son, and that you came and that you were born, and that you died in our place, and that you rose again on the third day. Lord, I pray that would be so. But Lord, also know that sometimes as believers, Lord, we can be in the light, so to speak, and we can have the light in us. But Lord, oftentimes we let darkness come in and we let the work of Satan work through us and in us. So Lord, I pray today that we would just come clean with you. Lord, that we would ask for forgiveness and that we would repent and begin to do and be all that you have called us to. Lord, I pray that you would have your way as only you can in our hearts and lives this morning. I pray it in Jesus' name. Amen.
Hymn 281.